Yes, and just like that, the old year is gone. 2022, a brand new 35 hours, not even 2 days new. Someone said, if there can be anything newer than new, it's brand new. And that's what I wanted the kids to see. It's not just new. This is a brand new year. Before I married, I thought, well, while I had a little money, I should buy a new car. I wasn't sure how in the world I would afford it. But, you know, you could pay it out for 10 years. It'd be all right. So I went to Gordon Roundtree Oldsmobile on Franklin Avenue in Waco, and I bought a brand new. There were only two cars in their little showroom, and this was an Oldsmobile Cutlass Calais. Two-door. The two doors on that car are now bigger than my entire whole length of my car. They were just huge. You would open those. You'd open those doors, and they just would go forever. It was white with a blue interior. It was, that smell. It was brand new. Had never been off. I didn't even test drive it because they just had this one little door. They said, it's good. And it was. And they moved it out of those little doors, and it was still running. And I got in that brand new car, and I drove to Chilton. It was a glorious day. You can tell, still as I relive it, I pulled into the little Chilton, and I saw seventh grader, one of our little kids, David, and I, electric windows, rolled down the window and said, "It's my new car. It's brand new." And he said, "Can I have a ride, Brother Mark?" And I said, "Get in." And he had been in the car about 6 seconds when he spilt his big red super gulp mega big red. He just spilt it on the floorboard of my brand new car. And that seventh grade boy did not ever realize how close he came to dying right there. My brand new car was now just a new car with red, and for all the years, it always had that red spot on the floorboard. Well, a new year. Have you made a resolution? A lot of folks do that. You know, you can't make a New Year's resolution on the 15th of January, or you sure can't make it on the 25th. You have to make it on the 1st. I read the top five resolutions of the year. They're the same top five for the past 5 years. For some of you longer, number one is lose weight. Number two, get organized. Number three, spend less. Number four, and you can't make that one for your spouse. You spend less. Number four, save more. And the last one is get fit. The same five, top five, have been the same for the last 5 years. 88% of folks who make a resolution fail, they say. 88%. And I love this statistic, 70% say they give up by February the 1st. So keep making them, but if you fail, know that you are like most other people. Well, the Apostle Paul, I think, had a New Year's resolution. At least he wrote of a personal goal for himself and for the believers in Philippi. And I hope you have your Bibles, and maybe that's a good New Year's resolution. This year, come to worship, bring your Bible, and if you have your Bible this morning, find Philippians chapter 3. Some of you are very much aware that I have preached from Philippians chapter 3, especially verses 12 through 14, many times before. I think that over 25 first Sundays or second Sundays of the year, over 25 times, this has been my text. And some of you are saying, "Well, why did I come?" It's the same sermon. Well, they're a little different. It was the first sermon I preached 6 years ago on this Sunday, my first Sunday to be your pastor. And Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14, would be my favorite passage, my favorite scripture in all of the Bible. Now Paul's salvation, it was intact. It was secure. There was no question. Paul had had that dramatic conversion experience. He had turned and totally given himself to Christ. But Paul always wanted to know more of Christ, to be more fully known. That Pauline phrase, to be in Christ, was something the Apostle Paul seemingly spent all of his life in his ministry, and when he wrote all of his letters, he would always go back to he longed to be in Christ. Now Paul lived in a tension, I think like we do. Paul knew that his righteousness was not in himself, and he knew that though he had been converted and changed, that he was a saint, yes, like all believers, but he also knew that he was a sinner. And so he lived in that tension of I'm righteous, but I'm unrighteous. Paul said, the things I long to do and say and be, I do just the opposite. Paul wrote, and the things I despise that I don't want to do, those are the things I tend to do all the time. Can you relate? Paul, who wrote and preached about grace, as we just sang, and grace alone, but he also knew that some took grace as this cheap thing, which wasn't really grace. They made grace this license to, if it feels good, do it. And Paul said, that's not grace. And Paul dealt with faith in deeds, or faith in works. You did the deeds. You did the work of a believer, not to by the faith or to get the faith, but as a result of your faith, you couldn't help but do this. So Paul had this tension. And so here's his resolution for himself, and I think for the believers in Philippi, and I think it's for us, and it's a very honest reflection. Let me start back a little bit before verse 12. Let me begin reading Philippians 3, beginning in verse 7. Paul writes, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes through the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Underline this, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participate in His sufferings, becoming like Him, even His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Now here's the text. Not that I have already obtained all of this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That text, verses 12, 13, and 14, my favorite passage. Paul is comparing the Christian life and living the life as a race. Verse 12, I'm not finished in the race. Paul said, I'm not perfect in the race, but my resolution, my desire is I press on. Verse 13, hear me again, Paul writes. Hear me again. I don't have it together, but I press on. Verse 14, I don't live this life looking back, But instead, I'm straining forward toward the finish line. I'm pushing onward toward the goal to win the prize, to be victorious. I press on. In my early years of reading this text and of preaching on this text, I think I had the wrong picture. I know I did. The wrong picture of this race. Before, I always thought when Paul was writing this about the race that it was this great stadium, A. Martin, great Clyde Hart, Patterson Stadium, Darrell K. Royal. That's how I pictured this wonderful, wonderful track. You watch the Texas relays at UT, that track with a smooth, level, padded, not an old track that some of us remember, cleachy. No, this was a smooth, spring-loaded track. I pictured a track where the lanes are so clearly marked, and you're running that race. Those lanes are marked at the ends. The track goes up. And it's, of course, it's well lit. The lights aren't in your eyes. They're up high. And whether it's day or night as you run, it's always bright. And there's a breeze as you head towards the finish line. That breeze just pushes you forward. And you're running freely. Can't you hear it? Da-da-da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da. Chariots of fire. It's just boom, 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 boom. You're just going. The Christian life, Paul's running. He's reaching. But that's not the right picture, at least not for me. I don't think for Paul, but it's a cross-country race. It's a cross-country race, our walk, our race with Christ. At times it's rough, and it's treacherous. And there are times the race feels like it's all uphill. There are rocks, and sometimes the rocks are small, and you just slip and slide, and sometimes the rocks are huge on this race, and you have to climb over the rocks, and at times this race path, the lanes aren't marked. It's narrow, and it's wide, and at times you can't even see if there is a lane, and it's often wet and muddy and slippery. And sometimes running that race, it's just so dark. And to fall, or at least to slip, it's common. And to totally crash, it happens often. And to cry, and to want to quit, and just give up is a real temptation. I think the Message translation of this passage sums it up beautifully. Peterson writes, "I'm not saying that I have all of this together. I'm not saying that I have made it, but I'm well on my way, reaching out for Christ who has so wondrously reached out for me." Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. Paul's words in this text to the Philippian church, I think, can be foundational for some spiritual resolutions, some goals, if you prefer, and a challenge. The overall challenge of this year for us as a church and for each of us as individuals needs to be press on. That's our challenge, to press on. It's a brand new year. Press on. Here are three ways, three challenges. You've heard these before. As we press on in 2022, first resolution is let's live and love. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 118, "This is the day the Lord has given you. Rejoice and be glad in it." Jesus in John 10:10 said, "I came and I've come to you that you might have life, abundant, abundant life, full life." Dear friends, it is time for us to claim life and to live. I know COVID has changed us. And COVID in 2020 and in 21, and as we start 22, I can't tell you how many church members are not here today who I know of who are home with COVID. COVID has affected our life. But folks, we can't allow COVID to zap our life. Now, there are some folks who we know have lost their life because of COVID. I did a funeral last week of a lady who died of COVID. So, yes, it can end life, but we can't allow our life, the joy that God has given us to totally be zapped by COVID or by anything else. We must live. God wants us to live. And I don't say that lightly. I'm not making any statement about pro-COVID. It's nothing about COVID. It's life. Jesus wants us to live. If we let the cares of this world, if we get so consumed by the world or by our own stuff in our life that we just stop living. This funeral I did this last week, a friend from many years ago said, "Mark, my parents haven't been out of their house for 18 months. They've ordered their groceries. They have not been out." I said, "Do they have health problems?" "No." They said, "They're just afraid of life." I got a note. I didn't really get it. Lori got it. It's typed. It came in an envelope with a year-end offering. It's on an index card, typed with an old typewriter from Chris Browning, who wrote, "Happy New Year to all of you. I'm still here! Exclamation, exclamation. I'll be 104 in February." Now that's life. 104, typing on an index card, sending her offering, "I'm still here. I want to live." I don't know if I want to live to be 104, but if I'm Chris Browning, I sure do. I want to live. I'm still here. We need to live. We need to live. This is the day God has given us. Let us live and rejoice, but not just live. Let us love. They asked Jesus, "What is the greatest commandment?" Of all the commandments, Jesus said, "Love God. Love God with your heart, soul, mind, strength, with all that you are. Love God. Oh, and love your neighbor as yourself." 2022, brand new. Why don't we commit to live and to love? For we really don't live if we're not loving God and loving others. Here's another one. Serve and share. Serve others in Jesus' name. We are never more like Jesus than when we take up the towel like Jesus took and he washed the feet of his apostles. We're never more like Jesus than when we become a servant. Jesus himself, God in flesh, who said, "I did not come to be served. I came to serve others." When we serve the least or the lowest or the highest or the richest, it doesn't matter. We are called to serve others. You're going to hear this year of opportunities for missions and ministry, going to the valley and building a house for a family that's been working for 2 years. Preparing, saving for us to show up and do that with them. Why do we pack hundreds of sacks every week to give to children for Hurdy? Because that's what Jesus would do. Why do we are planning a block party for our neighborhood the first Sunday of May? It's not Halloween, it's not anything, but to let our neighbors know we're here to love you, to serve you, to do life with you. And as we serve others, That's sharing Christ. I don't think sharing Christ is going necessarily door to door and knocking on a door and saying, here's this biblical tract and let me preach to you and here's the Roman law. No, we share Christ when we begin to tell our story and we begin to live Christ in us. And the world says, why are you doing that? Why are you loving us? Why are you accepting us? Why are you serving us? And we say, let me tell you, it's all about Christ. We're able to share our story of what God has done in our life and doing in our life. 2022, it's a brand new year, and missions and ministry will be part, a big part of who we will be. And yes, live and love, serve and share, and maybe this is the hardest one, forgive and move forward. 2021, it's over. And there's no going back. And many of you would say, thanks be to God, I don't want to go back. Now, there were some great things that happened in 2021. If you're a Baylor Bear, it was a grand and glorious year. If some of you had new children or new grandchildren, so our son got engaged. It was a good year and a hard year, but we can't go back. We can't live in the back, and those hurts, those people and things who hurt you, and the pain that you hold on to, and those wrongs that someone intentionally said and did. Paul said, this one thing I do, getting what is behind. Was Paul thinking about those who made his life miserable, those who said and did? Maybe. Or maybe he was thinking of his own disappointments, of the times that he did the things he didn't want to do and didn't do the things he wanted to do. Maybe he was thinking of the times that he said and thought and those disappointments and those regrets. Anybody have any failures in 2021? Sometimes it's easier to forgive others than it is to forgive ourselves. Life is just too short and precious to hang on to it. That stuff. Someone told me a long time ago, you know, God gave you a certain amount of stomach lining. Only you should determine who gets to eat it up. How many times do we allow someone to just control our life and our personality and our temper and our stuff? Holding that hate and that grudge, do you think it's hurting that other person? Guess what? It's not. It's not. They're not losing sleep over it. 2022. Now, remember, forgiving doesn't necessarily mean we forget it. There are things that have happened, I've said it before, that I will never forget because God gave me a brain and I remember. I remember those things. I remember how it felt. But forgiveness says, even though I remember, I still forgive. If I could just forget all that stuff that I've done, or that others have done, then that cheapens forgiveness. But forgiveness says, I remember and yet I still forgive self and I forgive others. This one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on. Not that smooth track, but I press on through the hills, through the slippery, through the rock, through the muck, through the stuff. 2022, it's brand new. So what do we do with a sermon like this? Let me say, well, I look at my watch and forget it. I ignore it as I have the last few years. I deny it. What if we would just do it? What if we would just do what Paul asked the Philippians to do and what he asked himself to do? I'm convinced God longs to do some amazing things in our lives this year. Why would he not? God longs to do some amazing, brand new things in our church this year, in your family this year. Will we let him? Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 and 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. God says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not see it? Shall we pray? 2022, brand new, not even 48 hours old. Thank you, God, for your word. For the promises of your word, for Paul's words, his resolution that said, I'm going to press on. I don't have it figured out. I'm not there yet. I've still got my own mess. There are things I'm dealing with, but this one thing I do, I press on. Oh God, help us to claim that promise. And God, as we press on, let us live and let us love. Let us serve and let us share. And let us forgive and move forward. You want to do something new, brand new. This is the day. Yes, this is the day. Do it, God. And let us follow. It's my prayer in Christ's name. Amen.